and welcome back to Educators to Educators. Thank you so much for joining our second episode of E2E. I'm so excited to have you join me today to talk with myself and my mentor teacher, Kelly. Kelly has been a friend of mine for, 20 years now. Kelly and I met our freshman year of college. I was sitting on our dorm steps and Kelly came walking by and we just started talking and hit it off. And we have spent many years laughing, having fun, learning together. And I'm so excited to have her join us today. Kelly is the woman that inspired me and really pushed me off the ledge to change careers and become a teacher. She used to, when I was working at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, I was going out into the schools and I remember coming home from work and calling Kelly and saying, hey, I really love schools. I really love teaching. I love kids. I want to become a teacher. And she's the one that said, you should do it. You would be an amazing teacher. So I thought it was so appropriate for my first guest to be Kelly because I student taught under Kelly. So Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome, Kelly. I would love for you to tell everyone your amazing teaching story and your teaching history.
Well, thanks. I'm so glad to be here talking with you today. I've been teaching for 15 years, and I've taught kindergarten and third grade. And I have my reading specialty, my master's in my reading specialty. I really enjoy teaching reading and learning about how kids read. I have had 5 student teachers now, and I really enjoy working with student teachers. I love letting them just try things out in the classroom, feeling like they're not being judged, and letting them just explore teaching a little bit.
Yeah, Kelly, so you were so good at that. When I was student teaching with you, you were so amazing about lifting me up, telling me what I did well, and then giving me a tip or two to get better. That was an amazing experience for me.
Well, thanks. It was hard to give you anything to work on.
Oh, thanks, Kel. Well, Kelly has a lot of knowledge. She is probably the most organized teacher I have ever seen. She is on top of her game with classroom management. So in a few minutes, she's going to share out some of her knowledge and tips. But before we get into that, Kelly's brought another special guest with her today, her little sister, Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Carrie.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Maria is actually, I remember when Kelly and I first became friends, Maria was like a little girl. I don't even know if you were in kindergarten yet, Maria, but I've loved watching her grow. And she actually just decided to do a career change and become a teacher. So she's finished her first week of teaching fifth grade. And Maria is going to be talking to us today about some of the questions she has for Kelly. So before we get started with Kelly and Maria, just a reminder of the format of this podcast. I want E2E to be super digestible, something that you can listen to on Monday mornings while you're getting your classroom ready for the week, Friday afternoons on your drive home. I really want this to be short and sweet. So we're going to be between 10 and 15 minutes, and each guest is going to talk about 3 things they think could impact your teaching and learning in your classroom. So let's go ahead and get started. Maria, give us your first question or thought.
Okay, Kelly and Carrie, the first of the 3 things I really want to ask you guys about is, here I am going into my second week of school. My first week was great, but it kind of was a blur, and I'm just feeling very overwhelmed. I'm sitting here with all my lesson plans and books surrounding me, and I would just love to hear your best piece of advice for me going forward, how I can, manage it all, how I can stop feeling as overwhelmed as I do right now.
Such a good question. And I feel like it was just yesterday that I felt that same way. And I mean, most teachers feel that way every single year. It gets a little better because you have a little more confidence, but it's still there every single school year. And my best piece of advice for this one is take your time. Slow down. Take your time, do it correctly the first time, or you'll be paying for it for the rest of the year. I always reread parts of a book that I received in college called The First Day of School by Harry Wong. He gives such great advice about classroom management, and that's really what it comes down to in the classroom, because everybody, I know people can teach or they can learn how to teach, but you're not going to be an effective teacher if you don't have classroom management down. So these next couple weeks, Maria, just try to take your time and do whatever it is. If it's classroom management or it's teaching the lesson or it's introducing the iPad, to do it correctly, to take your time, to not feel stressed about it, because that is going to set the tone for the rest of the year. A lot of times teachers try to just rush the first couple weeks, and then they have to reteach, or they're stressing out in October because all the fun has worn off with the kids and now they're misbehaving because they were never taught how to do things correctly. So right now I know you're probably sitting with all of your lesson plans around you wondering where to start. So think about what's the most important thing for tomorrow. Think about how you're going to teach it correctly. Think about how you're going to set the stage for the kids. Are they going to be in groups? Do they know how to work in groups yet? So that is my best piece of advice, is just take it day by day, slow down, and remember that it's really important that you do it correctly the first time and you take your time.
Yeah, Kelly, I think that's such amazing advice, because as teachers, we think, oh, we've got to get into the curriculum. We've got to keep up with the teachers down the hall and get teaching. And Maria, like, let's say tomorrow your first lesson with your fifth graders in math is about number lines, okay? And like, you have to identify negative and positive numbers. I'm just making this up. But let's say that you needed to teach that tomorrow. I remember Kelly doing this so well in the classroom and I replicated it. Like, maybe tomorrow all you teach them how to do is to get out the supplies that they need. So get out your ruler, make sure your pencil's sharpened, have your math notebook out. And then you teach them how to draw a straight number line with the arrows on the end and where the zero goes. And like, maybe that's all you do, but you go so slow and you show them who's in, you know, in charge in that classroom, and that's you, right? And that seems ridiculous, but sometimes it's like you got to teach your kids 12 times, Kelly, especially in kindergarten, how to like hang up their jacket correctly. So it's a good reminder for veteran teachers who are coming back to school and new teachers.
Yes, because one thing I've noticed is when the teacher skips those types of things, they're the teachers that are having to discipline their classroom, whereas an effective teacher manages the classroom. And you do that by classroom management plan, by minimizing your organizational issues, like the supplies, as an example. And the goal at the end of the day is to maximize student learning time. So you'll do that by setting it up the right way from the first few weeks of school. So this week, maybe that's another goal you have, is just learning how to draw that straight line, how to use their supplies correctly, where do they go when you're done. And I want to talk more about praising the kids, but that's what you'll do. I mean, you see a kid do it correctly, and that's where you'll stop, take your time, and point it out, and ask the kids, why was that a good choice? What did they do that was well there?
Great advice, Kelly. And I can't wait to talk more about that praise and who you want to look for to praise in these, you know, first weeks and months of school.
Speaking of praise and modeling, what were some of the examples of things you did to establish a smooth classroom?
Such a good question. Classroom management is just such an important part of teaching. And sadly, there's just no college course for it. I think that the U.S. needs to work on that, because I remember coming out of college and having no clue as to where to start with classroom management. So one thing that I have learned was just reading books that other effective teachers have written, or talking to other teachers in my building that were effective teachers, watching them, getting advice from them. So one thing you ask about praise and procedures. So I believe an effective teacher sets up procedures and routines. You already have this planned out, and you have to model it 1,000 times. It's going to get annoying. You're going to model it. You're going to ask the kids to model it. And it's going to seem like overkill, but it's so important. So we rehearse that modeling many, many times, and then you praise them. And it sounds silly, but I've seen 8th grade teachers praise their kids and they like it. Everybody likes praise, no matter how old you are, 5 years old in a kindergarten room or a high schooler. And then staying consistent the whole school year. Those are huge. Modeling, rehearsing, praising, and being consistent. So I was thinking of the things, the procedures that I really try to work on that first couple weeks of school. So here are a couple of them that I think are important. Entering the classroom, it sets the tone for the day. So how do you want them to enter? Is there work on their desk? Is there work on the board? Is there a message on the board? So make sure that is known and keep it consistent. How will you quiet your class? If they're working in small groups and they're gonna talk and it's okay, that's good. How are you gonna quiet them down for when it's your turn to talk? How do they ask for help? How do you collect and return student work? Maybe you use a helper, maybe you do it all yourself. You need to think about what's gonna work for your classroom. How do kids ask questions? Can they raise their hand and just interrupt you? Or do you want them to wait until you're done talking? So you need to practice that one a million times. How do they work in groups? How do they transition into groups? Do they keep a notebook, a folder? Where should they find directions for every assignment? And then finally, you finished your awesome day. How do they leave? How do they walk out? How do you want to end the day with them? So those are the key procedures that I think are so important and will help your classroom run. Even when you're absent and you have a substitute in there, you'll probably get praise from the principal and the substitute if you've set all these things up, because the classroom will work like magic. The sub won't even have to do anything. You will have done all the work.
Yeah, and you know, I talk a lot in the last podcast about not wanting to be the sage on the stage, right? Like, you don't want to be the one talking in the classroom all the time. But if you don't set these procedures up and rehearse them and praise them, you are going to be talking all the time because you're going to constantly be correcting behavior, and the kids don't really know the boundaries and the expectations. Kelly, I loved what you said about you model it, then the kids model it. Even middle schoolers will do that. A lot of times I hear middle school teachers saying, like, or fifth graders will do that, Maria. They will eat that up. And I have to say, like, some of my toughest kids at the beginning of the year that just could not follow these procedures and really, like, made me want to pull my hair out, those kids are the ones, Maria, that just watch them like a hawk and look for them a time that they do follow procedure. And you don't have to make a big to-do out of it. Just walk up to them and say, hey, you know, hey, JoJo, like, I saw you follow that procedure. Thank you. You're really starting to get it. You're making the classroom, you know, an easier place for everyone to be by following those procedures. So public or private, just look for those kids that are going to make you want to pull your hair out and praise them. They'll end up being some of your favorite students by the end of the year.
They will. Yeah. Don't get discouraged. Just keep practicing, praising. And like Carrie said, we both have had some students that come from challenging backgrounds that have no structure in their life. And you think, oh, there's no way they're going to ever follow procedures. There's no way they're going to be, you know, behave well, if that's what you want to say. But you'd be shocked.
Yes.
At what happens by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yep. And they actually, they love you because you are putting that structure in place. Kelly and I are both moms, and it's the same with our kids, right, Kel? Like, yes. They want that structure, even though sometimes it's hard.
Yes. Kids crave structure. There's nothing I've noticed more as my 15 years of teaching is that they really do crave it, and they may complain or something a couple times, but in the end, if you got rid of it, they would ask, why aren't we doing this? We're supposed to do this next. You know, they love it and they need to know it. Also, you get some kids with anxiety, mm-hmm. and this also helps those kids that worry about what's next. What are we supposed to do here? You know, I have one of my own children like that always wants to know, what are we doing, when, after this, before this? So I do think it is a great idea at all levels for the kids to know what to expect, what's expected of them, and stay consistent.
That's some great advice. Thank you, guys.
Before we move on to Maria's third question or concern, I want to share a few ways that you can get a hold of me. Check out my new Twitter handle, @ConoverCarrie. Visit me on Twitter, @ConoverCarrie. You can always email me, carrie@ccincg.com, carrie@ccincg.com, Of course, visit my website at www.conoverinnovativeconsulting.com. On my website, find articles I've written, find links to other podcasts, find links to books that we talk about here on Educators to Educators. And finally, I ask that all of you, if you enjoy this podcast, give us a review in iTunes. That's what helps spread the Educators to Educators love and has us show up on iTunes when people are searching for education podcasts. So please take a minute, go into iTunes, share hopefully what is a 5-star review, and let's spread the love here at Educators to Educators. All right, Maria, let's hear your third question or concern that you have for Kelly and I.
Okay, Carrie, my last question was, I listened to your first podcast and I'm just struggling with what you said about wait time, because I feel like in doing that, I'm wasting time. So I'm wondering if you could maybe explain more about that.
That's a really good question, because you do feel like that even now. We all have that, those moments where you feel like if you are waiting for something, you're just wasting time, and we're all just such busy people. But one thing that's super important when you're working with kids is waiting, giving them time, waiting for answers, waiting for them to come up with their own answer could save you so much time in the end. As a first-year teacher, and even now as a mom, I found myself, and find myself right now, just rushing to get things done. I just feel like there's never enough time. And that was a big struggle for me my first year of teaching, because I felt like I had to compare myself to the other teachers who were moving along in their lesson plans quicker than me. Slow down. It's, you know, you've got to give kids time to think. We all have so many different learners in the classroom. And you think about yourself, and you probably don't come up with the answer right away. So it's like, why do we expect the kids to do that? So I think setting that up right away of wait time. I want everybody to think before they raise their hand. I want you to think about what you want to say. You can even share with a partner first. I think sometimes that's a fun little way of getting everybody to share and allowing people to gather their thoughts, is talk it over with a partner. Think about what you guys want to say maybe together, and then they can share. So just trying to stay patient with the kids and giving them that wait time. Kids with special needs, they obviously need a lot longer time. So we want to make sure they feel comfortable and have the opportunities to share like the other kids do in the classroom. It also helps keep the noise level down. Sometimes we're so quick to say, be quiet, let's stop, you know, keep the noise down. Sometimes if you just sit there and you make eye contact with kids, you'll notice that everything calms down and everyone, nobody has to scream, and it calms everybody. And it's just a good way of waiting. So a lot of times I just kept remembering, wait, just stay patient, stay quiet. And it helps a lot of situations. Anything to add, Carrie?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Kelly. That quality over quantity. I mean, we've talked about it through this entire podcast. It's a good life lesson, really. Slow down, do quality things instead of quantity. And I also, Kelly, like the power of our silence as teachers, and the power of, you know, a kid asking us a question and we say, well, what do you think? And letting them have that silence and that think time, I do think is really important. And the power of our voice, whisper, sing, dance, tell jokes, use your voice and your personality to help draw kids in. Kelly, I think one of the things both of us would say, like, hey, if you follow the procedures, you get nice Mrs. Conover. If you don't, you get not so nice Mrs. Conover. Who wants nice Mrs. Conover? Who wants not so nice Mrs. Conover? But great advice, Kelly. Well, Maria, thank you so much for joining us today and being really honest about some of the things you're facing as a new teacher. I know your sister, Kelly, and I are both huge cheerleaders of yours. We're going to be watching your career. We are here for you. Whenever you have questions, please reach out to either one of us, and we'll give you the best advice we can. So thanks, Maria, for being here today.
Thank you so much, Carrie and Kelly. Really, everything you said today was really helpful, and I'm excited to go into my second week of teaching.
Great. And Kelly, I mean, words can't express how much I look up to you and admire you as a human being, as an educator. And I'm just so honored that you are my first expert guest on my podcast, Educators to Educators.
Well, thank you, Carrie. I've learned so much from you. I remember when you were my student teacher, I came away with so much that you taught me and I still use in the classroom now. And I know the same is going to be true with Maria. She was made to be a teacher and I'm so excited for her. So thank you both.
Thank you for joining us for the second episode of Educators to Educators. I'm looking forward to the next episode where I sit down with Cameron, a college student studying to be a teacher, and she asks me some tough questions about her future as a teacher. You have the most important job in this country, and that is teaching our young children. And I just am so grateful that you decided to spend your time listening to this podcast. I look forward to seeing you on episode 3, but until then, keep on teaching on.